New Orleans signed CJ Spiller for something other than sitting on the fucking bench.
31 other passes that should have been intercepted with you.
So that's why I have David Johnson on my board higher.
If you're doing a live draft, wait till you're drunk to draft this guy. We welcome you to the Fifth Down.
What up, Fifth Downers? This is Johnny Slokes, and you're listening to the Fifth Down Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm doing it solo today. It's past K-Mill's bedtime. But we'd like to apologize for not having our matchup podcast last week. I was a little preoccupied on the Pyro Light podcast with Mo. We had a really good show. Hopefully you guys tuned in for that. There's some good info on that. But we're going to get into things here on episode 43. It's going to be a quick waiver wire show. There's not a whole lot out there, but I feel like it's our duty to do this. So without further ado, I will jump into some of the news and notes. There's not a whole lot out there, but something that to be of note is Gronk was thought to have had a punctured lung. But I've been hearing some other reports that it may just be a simple chest injury, but it's still a situation you want to monitor. He could miss a game. It's something that you're going to want to look into throughout the week. If he is not to go, it's still going to make Martellus Bennett a tight end one. So if he's available in your league, I mean, by all means, pick him up. Carlos Hyde came back for his Week 10 matchup, and he struggled in return. He had 13 carries for 14 yards. Obviously, it was against a pretty good Arizona run defense, so look for him to have a bounce-back week next week. James Starks returned, and it looks like they're leaning more towards him over Ty Montgomery. He only had 5 touches. Starks is a guy that could probably get some more work going forward, although I'm not really sure how much value there is to have in that backfield, but if you're really stressed on running backs, that's definitely a guy that you could go towards. This is something that I just heard about today. Alshon Jeffrey is suspended for 4 games for violating the league's PED policy. It's effective immediately, so he will be out of commission for the next 4 games. That's really big news, especially from Chicago's perspective. They're having a struggling offense, and you know they're going to be without one of their best weapons. So that's definitely some big news. Another news... Sammy Watkins, he is not ready for practice, which it's to be expected. It's going into week 11. He wasn't expected to be back until at least week 12. So definitely if you have an IR site, you could leave him there, but it's starting to look a little bit dimmer on his end. Larry Fitzgerald is probably dealing with a grade 1 MCL sprain, but it looks like he will play next week. So you want to still monitor his health and check and see on Wednesday if he's practicing limited at least. All right. So let's jump into some of the waiver pickup for this week. Not a whole lot out there for quarterbacks. I mean, Carson Wentz is going on the road against Seattle, so you're not picking him up to start. Flacco, he could still get Dallas. His secondary is pretty banged up right now. They gave up over 400 yards to Pittsburgh, but as we all know, Flacco, he hasn't really been really good this year. I know he did have a pretty decent game on Thursday night against the Browns. He had 3 touchdowns, also threw 2 interceptions. So, I mean, his play is a little bit unpredictable at this point, but I mean, if you're really in a crunch for quarterbacks, I guess that could be an option. Tannehill actually looked pretty good this past week against San Diego. He's going on the road against the L.A. Rams. I mean, that could be a streaming option if you need to start a quarterback this week. Although I will warn you, you know, Miami has been going towards more of a run-heavy approach that could limit his upside. So I don't know if you really want to trust that at this point. Alex Smith. He is going to be playing Tampa Bay, who has been getting beat through the air, but once again, a low-volume passing offense. Really not sure if that is an option for you at this point. Jay Cutler, I think it's pretty safe to say that you're not picking up and starting him against really anyone at this point. I mean, he looked fucking awful this past weekend. I know I played him in place of Derek Carr, and he really bit me in the ass, to say the least. So I don't really think he's an option against the Giants. Giants' pass defense has been holding up pretty good. I know if you're watching today, they held Andy Dalton in check. They're getting after him, pressuring him. So, I mean, that's really not an option. Sam Bradford gets a tough matchup against Arizona, so that's really not an option. Kaepernick goes against a weak New England defense, but do you really want to go down that route? I don't. So, Osweiler goes against Oakland. Osweiler's been bad this year, to say the least. He had like 99 yards passing last week, so that's probably not an option either, even against a good matchup. So we'll leave it at that. I'm so sorry. I completely forgot to go over this past week's top performers. The 300-yard performers this week, Big Ben led the way. He was 37 of 46 passes for 408 yards, 3 touchdowns, big day and a loss. Probably one of the most exciting games of the year against Dallas. I honestly thought, though, when he had that fake spike for a touchdown to Antonio Brown, I was like, oh, that's it, man. That's a signature play of the year right there. But he was outdone by Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, he went untouched. It looked like their defense wasn't interested in playing, so that'll do you in every time. Carson Palmer, he had 30 of 49 for 376 yards, but he kind of struggled against San Francisco. That was kind of surprising. He had 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, and they barely squeaked a win out against San Francisco. I know if you heard me on the Pyro Light Show, I was like, yeah, start all these Arizona players. Get Stack, Palmer, and Fitzgerald, and David Johnson. But, you know, Palmer was a stinker in that one. So it's been kind of an ongoing theme for him this year. He just hasn't looked the same. The passing game as a whole is kind of struggling. So, I mean, I don't know how much you could trust Palmer going forward. Aaron Rodgers, he looked a little rattled, to say the least, against the Tennessee Titans. He was 31 of 51, hit 371 yards, 2 touchdowns, also 2 interceptions. What is going on with the Green Bay Packers right now? They're just in disarray on defense. At first, it was looking like it was Aaron Rodgers' reasoning why they're, you know, struggling at first, but now it's like he's starting to turn it on, and the defense is just falling apart. They're injured. The whole back end is just a mess. So, I mean, I think going forward, though, he's probably going to pass the ball like 50-plus times each week going forward. So, I mean, you got to like the volume. Russell Wilson, he looks like he's fully healthy, and he's kind of doing what he was doing last year, you know. He was at 25 of 37 for 348 yards, 3 touchdowns. He beat down on the, you know, the New England Patriots, and they squeaked out a win against them. That goal line is just deadly for both teams. Phillip Rivers, he was 23 of 44, 326 yards. He had 3 touchdowns, but he had 4 nasty interceptions in the fourth quarter. Eventually, did them in against the Miami Dolphins. That's not something that's going to happen to him every week. I don't think you have to really panic with him. You know, Dak Prescott continues to impress. He is very efficient in his win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was 22 of 33 for 319 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he was outside of Zeke, he was the star. I mean, his poise and his command in that pocket, it was looking good. So, I mean, definitely if you have the room, I don't necessarily say you have 2 quarterbacks, but in a good matchup, you could definitely play Dak Prescott. And it appears like Tom Brady is human after all. He was 23 of 32 for 316 yards, but he didn't have any touchdowns against that tough Seattle defense. He did throw, I think, 1 or 2 interceptions. But, yeah, he looked human after all, finally had a down week. But look for him to bounce back going forward. Crab Leg Winston, 23 of 33 for 312 yards and 2 touchdowns. He did have 1 interception. I mean, that's nice to see him after, you know, being kind of erratic throughout the first half of the season. It's looking like he's picking it up a little bit. Sam Bradford, he was 31 of 40 for 307 yards, two touchdowns, did throw one interception, and, you know, the skid just continues, but it was really nice to see him get the ball to Diggs consistently for the second week in a row, maybe even a third. But, yeah, he was looking a little bit better than last week at least, so that's nice to see. Drew Brees had a tough matchup against the Denver Broncos. He went 21 of 29 for 303 yards. He had three touchdowns, but he also had two interceptions. And while we all seen the end, that was probably the craziest ending I've seen in a football game in a while. I mean, I think it was a little bit outdid by Pittsburgh and Dallas, but that was crazy. The blocked extra point, took into the house. You know, it kind of looked like he stepped out of bounds if you looked at it from the right angle, but, you know, a lot of times throughout this year, the refs have just been sticking to their call. That's what happened. I think it was a good play, though. The 100-yard rushers, there was four of them. DeMarco Murray had a pretty good game, 17 carries for 123 yards and a touchdown. Well, obviously, we already know Ezekiel Elliott, he had a monster game. He had over 200 total yards, hit 21 carries for 114 yards, two touchdowns. I believe he also had a receiving touchdown. He was a fucking monster. I mean, forget thinking about him being the rookie of the year. He might be actually like the league MVP. So, I mean, it's not far-fetched at this point. Ryan Matthews had a surprising day. He had 19 carries for 109 yards and two touchdowns. Just came out of nowhere. He was consistently gashing that Atlanta defense. I really like what I've seen out of him. You know, I mean, he's still a little bit hard to trust going forward, but it's nice to see when he has games like that. Jordan Howard had 15 carries for 100 yards. He did have that costly fumble, though. And he's also, forgot to mention this in the news and notes, he's dealing with an ankle/Achilles injury. He's denying it, but the team's not. So definitely want to monitor his situation going forward, especially since, you know, they got Langford back. They have Carey back there. Things could get ugly going forward. The 100-yard receivers, aforementioned Diggs had 13 catches for 164 yards. I believe this is back-to-back weeks where he's set career high in yards, so he's really turning it on. If you don't have him, I'd seen someone who had it on the bench, and you know you never like to see your guys explode on the bench like that. So definitely he's a must play at this point. Julio Jones, he had a monster day today this week as well. He had 135 yards off 10 catches, but he also had a couple of crucial drops. That's something that's kind of uncharacteristic of him. It kind of cost him down the line there, but nonetheless still had a great fantasy day. Larry Fitzgerald had a pretty big day despite Palmer's struggles. He had 12 catches for 133 yards. And welcome back Jordy Nelson, 12 catches, 126 yards. He scored, I believe, his eighth touchdown of the year, so he continues to produce. Tyrell Williams had another monster day, five catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. Most of his damage was done off that. I believe it was like a 51-yard touchdown catch. Delanie Walker was giving the Packers fits all day, especially in that first half. Like, that's where he did most of his damage. He had nine catches for 124 yards and a touchdown. Dez Bryant had a great day against Pittsburgh, six catches, 116 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, I don't know if you guys are, like, good at reading lips or anything, but when I was looking at Tony Romo, it seemed like he was saying something along the lines of, it's his time. I think that's more in line with Dak Prescott thinking, yeah, it's his time now. At least that's what my understanding of it was. Kenny Britt had a very productive day, seven catches, 109 yards. And, you know, it was also nice to see is Allen Robinson finally producing, nine catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown. I believe that was a nice game coming off of like a 70-yard performance last week. Devontae Parker had a big day, 5 catches, 103 yards. I don't know if that's something that you can expect every week out of that Miami offense that's pretty run heavy, but very nice to see, especially if you're in like a dynasty league. And one that kind of a couple of performances that surprised me was Martellus Bennett shredded the Seattle Seahawks for 7 catches, 102 yards. I did not see that coming. I feel bad for one of my buddies. He was like, should I pick him up? I was like, man, I don't know if he's going to produce against Seattle, but he ended up coming through in a big way. So I feel bad for that advice that I gave. But another nice one was Floyd come out of nowhere, 5 catches, 101 yards. We all thought this was going to be like J.J. Nelson's coming out party, and it was the complete opposite. Nelson had a terrible day, and Michael Floyd actually had a productive day without scoring a touchdown for a change, so that was really nice to see. All right, that'll do it for our big-time performers. We'll jump back into our waiver wire picks now. Sorry for flip-flopping around. For the running backs that are available, Derrick Henry is available in 49% or 51% of Yahoo leagues. And I know he's hurt right now, but I feel like he's still a must hold, especially if you're a DeMarco Murray owner. Like, it kind of surprises me that he's available in so many leagues. So, I mean, if he's available in your league, don't be afraid to scoop him up, especially if you have the bench space. I think that's what the biggest thing about that is. I know a little over to the Seattle situation, C.J. Procyse had a big day. He had, I believe he had like 18 touches, something like that. He was looking pretty good, especially in the passing game. He was really, really excelled. He had 7 catches. He was being utilized as the lead back over there. And that's interesting to note because another guy that's available on the waiver wire is Thomas Rolls, who should be coming back next week. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that whole backfield shapes up. It's kind of hard to go away from Procyse after the game that he just had, though. So, I mean, if you have a piece of that Seattle offense, whether it be Christine Michael or C.J. Procyse, I think you might want to pick up Rolls just in case, you know, he does get that lead role. I don't really foresee that happening right away, but it's definitely a situation to monitor. And you know, Rob Zombie Kelly, he's available in 52% of leagues, and he had another nice productive day. He was like 3 yards shy of 100 yards. He was running hard. Really reminds me of like a less athletic version of Frank Gore. But I mean, he's really not a guy that's going to mess around dancing in the backfield. He's just a north and south pounder. He really runs really hard. He always seems to fall forward for extra yards. I love the way that kid runs. Bilal Powell actually had a pretty productive day. You know, he had that awkward-looking touchdown where they flicked it back to him. He's on a bye, though, so I can understand if you don't really necessarily want to pick him up. Another guy that I don't know you really need to own this guy, but if you're like a Doug Martin owner, I think it would behoove you to have Peyton Barber. He had 12 carries for 38 yards. I see his workload going down, though. I think he's more of a handcuff at this point. I know the touches were pretty close, 16 to 12, but I could see his workload going down. But if you're a Doug Martin owner, it would behoove you to own him. Same thing if you're a Carlos Hyde owner. I think it would also behoove you to have Juju Harris. I think that he's more of a handcuff at this point because I could see his workload going down. But if something was to happen to Hyde again, you would already have him. I know we were talking about Starks a little bit earlier on the show. He's 28% owned on Yahoo leagues. And, you know, at this point in the year, man, if he's a starting running back, you got to own him, even if he isn't really that good. But he had 10 touches, and I could see his workload going up a little bit. It seems like they're trying to move away from Ty Montgomery in the backfield. Like I said earlier, he only had 5 touches. So it looks like they're trying to go to a more traditional setting at the running back position, which I think is ultimately the right move. But, I mean, Starks just really isn't that good. You know, another guy, he got out-touched pretty badly, but Kenneth Dixon's workload has been going up, and he looked actually pretty good in that game. I know it was against the Browns, but he had 11 touches for 80 yards. I could definitely see his workload increasing because Wes continues to put up stinkers. I know he got a heavy workload. He only had like 65 yards rushing, so I could see Kenneth Dixon's workload going up from here on out. And you know, with the injury to Jordan Howard, we don't know how serious it is. But I mean, if you're a Jordan Howard owner, I mean, I think you could pick up Jeremy Langford just to be on the safe side. I'm not saying he's a must add either, but I mean, to be on the safe side, it wouldn't be a bad idea. And just a couple of more names to name out there, just because obviously D'Angelo Williams is going to be out for a couple more weeks. Something was to happen to Le'Veon Bell. I'm not saying it is. I hope it really nothing does happen to him. He looked great in this game that was against Dallas, but something was to happen to him. Right now, the only other back that's active over there is Fitzgerald Chuson. He's only owned in 1% of leagues. I'm just saying, like, so if something was to happen to him, you could pick him up. Obviously, they'd probably bring somebody else in there, but I mean, it never hurts to own a running back at this point in the year. I mean, another guy that could probably bring in there is another guy that's on the practice squad is Carlos Williams. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Really, it's not a real strong play. Obviously, it's not a must-add, but it's just something to take into perspective. All the people that were picking up bibs thinking that they were getting a waiver wire gem, that was just not the case. He got out-snapped by Devontae Booker 58-19. So if you own bibs, it's safe to drop him for someone better, so like maybe like a guy like Rob Kelly or CJ Procise. Like, I like both of those guys a lot more, obviously. So let's go over to the wide receiver position. If you're an owner of J.J. Nelson, you could probably drop him. I think he's going to lose his number two job to Michael Floyd. If you own Quincy Enunwa, I feel like you can drop him too. That situation is real murky. Even Brandon Marshall is struggling with that offense. So if you have Quincy Enunwa, you can pretty much drop him at this point. Same thing with Sammy Coates. He only played two snaps. He's fallen way back on the depth chart to like fourth or fifth receiver. So if you own Sammy Coates, you can go ahead and drop him. Yeah, one of my favorite ads is Cameron Meredith. He's the de facto number one over there in Chicago with Alshon Jeffrey being out for 4 weeks. He's owned in 33% of Yahoo leagues. A lot of people have dropped him, obviously, because of production has gone down with Jay Cutler at the helm. But, I mean, he's going to be the de facto number one. I mean, I wouldn't really necessarily feel great about playing him in any particular week, but he's definitely worth an ad. Michael Floyd, obviously, what I was saying is I think he's going to be the number two over there. Still, temper your expectations with him because we know how inconsistent he is. Really, the only receiver that's been really productive over there in Arizona has been Larry Fitzgerald, so temper your expectations with him. This next guy that I want to mention, he's not as widely available, especially in Yahoo leagues. He's owned in 66% of leagues. I've noticed that a lot of other sites like NFL, ESPN, he's not owned as much as Jamison Crowder, and he's quietly putting together a pretty nice season. He has three straight games of over 10-plus points. So definitely a guy you can add in as like a wide receiver three, maybe a wide receiver four if DeSean Jackson comes back, but I'm really not too hot about him either. I think Crowder is the number one receiver over there. I mean, outside of Jordan Reed, of course. Another guy that's not as widely available, but he's owned in 54% of Yahoo leagues. And like I said, I noticed it's going to be different in other leagues like ESPN and NFL. But Rashard Matthews is owned in 54% of Yahoo leagues, and he has six touchdowns in the past 6 weeks. He's continuing to produce. I think he's established himself a nice wide receiver three floor. So I think that's something that's going to continue. I mean, you see what he did in Miami. He was pretty much a wide receiver three over there when he was healthy. So I think he's definitely worth an add. Another guy that might go under the radar is a guy that you could probably pick up if you're at like the back end of your waiver wire, like a 10th or a 12th. Or you might be able to even just wait until first come, first serve as a guy like Robert Woods, who actually had a really big game. Not this because they're on a bye, but against Seattle, he had 10 catches for 162 yards, and he always had 50 yards or a touchdown in four of the last five games. So I definitely think that his stock is starting to trend upward. But like I said, it's not a guy you have to rush out and get. you know, another guy that had a pretty good game without Macklin was Tyreek Hill. He caught 10 of 13 targets for 89 yards. If Macklin's to miss any more time, that would also be a nice play. I think you guys really reap the benefits if you played him in like a tournament play. So, I mean, Tyreek Hill is definitely worth an add. I wouldn't necessarily, once again, not a guy you necessarily need to rush out and get, but if you're at the back end of your waivers, definitely a guy you could probably target. Another guy that's probably a guy you can pick up on first come, first serve is more of a guy that if you're in a crunch, you can pick him up is Eli Rogers. He caught 4 or 5 targets for 42 yards and a touchdown. That's coming off of a 103-yard performance the week before that. He almost looks like he's the second option over there behind Antonio Brown. Obviously, he's going to get even less targets than Le'Veon Bell, but he's definitely the number two receiver over there if you had to ask me. Another guy that I'm going to mention, his value kind of rests on the health of Travis Benjamin, is Dontrell Inman. He's 7% owned. He didn't have like a spectacular day, but he had a lot of big catches. I think he had like 59 yards this past week. But, you know, and I think they're going on a bye week. So, I mean, not necessarily a guy you want to pick up, but something you want to monitor. You want to monitor Travis Benjamin's health going forward. If he isn't to go in week 12, Inman might be a decent play, even in a tough matchup. Let's go over to the tight end position. There's not a whole lot of guys that we have to mention there. Coming off his bye week, Eric Ebron might be on that waiver wire. People might drop him because they needed a tight end this week. He's 57% owned in Yahoo leagues. He's probably a little bit less than other leagues. But, you know, before his bye week, he had 14 catches on 18 targets for 171 yards since he came back off an injury. So I kind of feel like he's going to be a tight end one going forward. Not a top end guy, but more of like a top 10 dude. I know Cameron Brate, his production seems like it's kind of inconsistent. He had a big game this past week, but you know, it's really not as inconsistent as you think. When Jameis Winston, he throws the ball for 30 plus times, he gets either 60 yards or a touchdown. So he's starting to establish a trend. So that's something that you can look at. I know these past couple weeks I've been saying, pick up C.J. Fedorowicz, pick up C.J. Fedorowicz. And he really stinker out on you guys. He had like 3 catches for like 24 yards or something like that. But Jacksonville's actually been pretty good against defending the tight end. And if you look even deeper into that matchup, he got 2 touchdowns vultured from other tight ends like Ryan Griffin and Steven Anderson. They both had a touchdown. So that those could have gone to him. So definitely don't fade on him because he also gets a pretty good matchup next week going into Mexico City against Oakland. I think he's a pretty viable play there as well. But other than that, that's all the waiver wire picks that I have this week. Please tune in on Wednesday. We're going to try something a little different. We're going to move our matchup show on Wednesday so that way we can cover the Thursday game. We'll also be doing our rankings in the same show as we go. So look forward to that one. But that'll pretty much do it for today's show. Please tune in on Wednesday. We are now on Blog Talk Radio. We're giving that a try. We're still on Spreaker. Obviously, we're on iTunes. We'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave us a rate review. That'd be greatly appreciated. We're trying to grow as a brand. It's been a while since we got a review. I'd really appreciate it. That'll pretty much do it. Stay classy, Fifth Downers.